Come on, then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
On the railing, in and out dribble between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
But I am king.
Oh, king, I very not.
And the Saint, Gary St. Jean.
What up, ladies and gentlemen? We welcome you to Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Dan alongside Gary St. Jean taking your calls all hour long. 888-957-9570. Happy election night. If you haven't voted yet, you got 1 hour and 59 minutes until polls close here in the state of California. But we'll be talking about the Warriors, so feel free to hit us up, 888-957-9570, if you want to get your mind off election stuff. Warriors Roundtable is the place for you. The Warriors starting a five-game road trip. It was certainly a backloaded road trip, and they needed to win the first two games, and they did. Now, it was a bit of an adventure to get there, Gary, but 6-1 through seven games, yes, it's been an easy-ish schedule for sure, but they needed to come out of the gates hot, and they have done just that.
Well, Kev, I'm remiss. I haven't talked about our intro. And I don't know who that guy is with that voice. But I love that. It gets me fired up, and I'm fired up about too. Warriors basketball. Guys, if you told me this was going to be the start, I would tell you you've been seriously into a bottle of hooch. They're just a joy to watch. I can't wait for every game. And it's different guys, different games, some surprises. And you hit on it, Kev. I mean, undefeated on the road again. Rolling along, and now they've got three easy ones coming upon them.
Oh, yeah, just the easiest teams in the league with a combined record of 22-1 coming into Wednesday in the Celtics, Cavaliers, and Thunder. We will break down those games later on in the show, along with taking your calls, 888-957-9570. But the team has built itself a little bit of a buffer. And look, worst come to worst, 6-4 certainly is not the worst 10-game start in the world. You would take that considering who they have on the back end of this road trip. But let's start with the win over Washington last night in the nation's capital, an apropos place to be in the first week of November in an election year. But this is one where, now, Draymond Green and the Warriors gave the Wizards a lot of props for how well they fought in this game. Yep. But just watching this one, I never felt the game was in doubt. Even when Washington cut it to five, I just felt like Golden State was always going to have enough to win, and they eventually did by 13.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. They were missing their best player in Kyle Kuzma. And as you noted, they played a little bit better. Poole's looking solid compared to last year. And as Draymond said, he gave props to a couple of their hardworking young guys. The energy that they played with, and he gave some props to Poole as well. But there just wasn't enough there to deal with the Warriors. And you're getting Steph back, which is certainly a shot in the arm. You go on the road, you take care of the ball. I mean, it's so evident what this team takes care of the basketball. They're tough to deal with. I think it was like 29-7 assist turnover ratio. And you know, there's so many guys that are buying in to the way they're playing on both ends. And it's just, it's got to be a lot of fun to be playing. And I know it's a lot of fun coaching this team.
It really is when you're getting the buy-in like this, and you mentioned it, the return is Stephen Curry. 24 points in 24 minutes. And Mark, if you do have the soundbite, let's hear from Steph Curry on being careful with coming back from injury, because he was on a strict minutes restriction last night.
I was playing just with the minute restriction and trying to figure out how to space those minutes out. That's why I didn't start in the third quarter to close both the third and the fourth. I feel good. It's just, you know, it's still early in the year and you're trying to build up the endurance. My ankle feels fine. It's just you don't want to be in a position where you get fatigued and put yourself in jeopardy. So this is a good stepping stone.
Saint, what did you think of the kind of plan of attack for the Warriors and managing those minutes for Steph last night?
Oh, I thought they did a terrific job. You know, that's a meeting between all the physical therapy people and Steph and the coaching staff. When you got a 16-year Hall of Famer, the best shooter ever, even in the game where he turned the ankle, when a player says to you, "Hey, coach, I'm okay, I can go back in." Well, he's a, you know, 4 or 5 year vet and he's a solid player. No, no, sit down here. But when it's a guy like Steph Curry, you listen. And they gave him a chance to go back in. It didn't work. And he limped to the locker room. But I thought he handled himself beautifully, didn't put himself in jeopardy. And it's a shot in the arm because when he's out there, the whole game changes, Kev. The substitution patterns change as to who you're going to have out there with him. The movement, because of the focus on him out there, there's going to be more openings whether you're on a good hard cut to the hoop or you're weak side and you're spaced out for a penetration and pass situation. You know, I guess I'd compare it to McCaffrey with the 49ers. You know, he's going to come back and that's all Trent Williams and all these guys are talking about, that it totally changes their team. Well, when Steph's out there, that's the impact that he has.
Yeah, a nice win over the Wizards last night with the return of Stephen Curry and should be able to play more minutes against Boston. It's been a competitive 2-4 start for Washington. They have some interesting players. First, Jordan Poole has gotten off to a much better start. I mean, he was shooting it really poorly to start last season. Good to see him get off to a good start. Bilal Coulibaly, the number 7 pick last year, former Victor Wembanyama teammate in France, not only with the national team but with their pre-draft team, Mets 92, is averaging almost 19 points a game coming into last night's game. And then Keyshawn George, this was the guy who got into it with Draymond Green a little bit. We kept on telling, I was reading, I believe it was a Monty Poole article, how Keyshawn George was just kept telling Draymond that he was going to leave him open. Draymond would say, "Don't help off me." Keyshawn would say, "I am going to help off you." But he's been really good defensively to start the year, has 8 blocks this season. I think that might have been coming into last night's game. And he had not shot it well, but you take a look at the way he shoots it. And Bob Fitzgerald was talking about this last night. He started like 3 of 31 on threes this season and then hit 5 straight against the Warriors last night. It is a pretty pure stroke that he has.
Well, it is. But the first thing that impresses me is these two young guys are really good athletes. And they work hard. You know, playing hard is a learned skill, Kev. I watch some teams play, and they play a game when they're all connected and play really hard. And then I watch them play another game, and they're not there. And that's the don't take for granted what the Warriors are doing. So for them to compliment these two guys, that's big. Because I love their effort, and I think they're going to be very good defenders. And, you know, it's a team that they got this young Alex Sarr, the second pick. He's thin like Wemby is down there in San Antonio and gangly. I mean, just a great width of length of arms. And, you know, I like the way he ran the floor. And, you know, it's going to be a work in progress. Today's game, a guy like this can flourish because he doesn't get put in the low post and get punished. You know, I think his skill level looks good. And so, you know, they've got some pieces, but Washington is a good ways away.
Yeah, no, certainly they got some developing to do. And if they continue to lose games at a 67% rate, like the 2-4 start right now, they will have a chance for a high draft pick again this year. But I want to bring up one more thing with Keyshawn George before we get on to the Houston Rockets game and what a wild ride that was. So Keyshawn George took a defensive 3 seconds technical against the Atlanta Hawks, and this kind of made some noise in NBA Twitter circles, if you will, or NBA X circles now, I guess. Sorry, Elon. But where the Wizards bench clapped and applauded him because he was in great help position after the game. I have never heard someone say this before. Keyshawn George told the media, "We want to lead the league in defensive 3 seconds." And that might be the quote of the year, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow. That is revealing. Let's talk about what we call the weak side low guy. In today's game, when there's pick and roll on the top of the court, top of the lane, If you're weak side low, that's the side opposite the ball, and you're down there, and that's where Draymond is a lot, and he's brilliant down there. He not only communicates, he anticipates. Well, what they're talking about is that guy coming into the lane and take away the lob and to clog up the lane and get there early to deter that pass. And they're willing to live with that to get these guys to understand the importance of help side, getting over there to help your teammates on penetration or pass. Now, the dilemma is if you get too deep in there and you get a guy rolling, then you get Draymond. I like the way Kalena and Fitz were saying they were playing tic-tac-toe, the Warriors, because that's exactly what I'm trying to explain here. You got pick and roll, you give it to the big, the guy rotates to you, and what do? The big throws a lob pass up, and inevitably that's Draymond, and he throws it up to Kuminga or whoever. That's a beautiful play, and that's how you attack the thing. If you don't get the lob, you skip it to the corner for a three. So it's a tough position to play in today's game, but you protect the paint before you protect the three.
Yeah, and I feel like the Warriors get that tic-tac-toe play with a lob to either Kuminga or Trace or whoever else is out there at least like once a game, or maybe 0.7, 0.8 times per game. It's something that you see, I feel, pretty frequently with Golden State.
Well, you show me a player who knows how to pass, he knows how to play. And Draymond's a genius in that regard. He sees things two counts before everybody else. And when one guy does it and they see it happen, they learn from it. And then they start to do it. And then we get into Steve Kerr's mantra. You know what? Saint, you got a good pass, a good shot, but Kevin, you have a great shot. So we keep moving the ball to the guy who has the best shot. It's unselfish play, and it's winning basketball.
Yeah, the old good to great or one more, depending on who you talk to, kind of some phrases that describe exactly what you're talking about there, Saint. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to get into this Houston Rockets game that felt like three games all wrapped into one 53-minute bundle of chaos, and then we'll talk a little bit about the play of Buddy Buckets, Lindy Waters, Draymond Green, a floor spacer, and more right here on 95.7 The Game.
Sir Kevin and Sir Gary welcome you back to the Warriors Roundtable.
Launches a three. Gucci!
On the valiant 95.7 The Game.
Back here on 95.7 The Game with Warriors Roundtable. Hit us up, 888-957-9570, if you want to talk Dubs, Shooty Hoop, Kevin Dana alongside Gary St. Jean. So the win over Washington made it a 2-0 road trip to start this five-game roadie, but it was very nearly a 1-1 start. The Warriors got out to a 31-point lead against the Houston Rockets Saturday night in H-Town. But even when they were up big, now I'll put a disclaimer on this, Saint. I was watching this game on DVR, and so when I saw that it had like a 3-hour and 12-minute timeline, when they got up big, I'm like, uh-oh, this might get close. And so I always kind of had that in the back of my mind, but I felt like the game was still going to be in balance because Golden State just kept missing free throws, and I felt like they were going to come back to bite them. And to me, like, I think they were consistently -5 at the line. This is what I mean by that, Saint. Basically, I think, like, an NBA team should be one made free throw above 75%. So if you attempt 20 free throws, you should hit 16. If you attempt 40 free throws, you should hit 31. So you should be a little bit above 75%. That's around league average. Well, Golden State was consistently like 5 free throws off that mark and ended up like 32 of 50. And so when Houston was making the run, could have been an 8-point lead instead of a 3-point lead. Or when they were up 6 in the final minute, it could have been an 11-point game. And they could have avoided overtime, but they got the job done, but boy, was it an adventure.
Well, those are the things that get you beat on the road. You know, Turnovers were good overall, but when you get to the free throw line, that's why they call them free points. I mean, you got to convert, and you're spot on in breaking it down. Good teams, and I think Warriors are pretty darn good from the free throw line. You got to be up in the mid-70s, because if you're down below that, you're going to get in trouble. You might not win a game this week or next, lose a game this week or next week, but it's going to get you. There's no doubt about it. And you lose momentum, too, when you start missing all those. So I thought the play was really good. They got out and ran beautifully. You know, Houston's an up-and-coming team. They're going to be hot and cold. They're going to catch people on certain nights, and then other nights they're going to give games away. I wasn't shocked that they came back at home. I really am a big fan of Sengun. I think he's got a bright, bright future. Now, they got some other guys on the wings. I mean, they could run around all day long and get nothing done. I don't know if there's rhyme and reason to some of their games. But Udoka's done a good job coaching there. They're hard-nosed. And they're a team that I don't know if they'll make the play-in, but they'll be knocking at the door. And they're a much harder out than they were last year.
Yeah, they're certainly going to be a hard out, as they showed in this game. I promise we'll get to the good stuff, but to harp on the miscues a little more, Golden State somehow finished that game with only 14 turnovers, and it felt like they turned it over a lot more. I believe they only turned it over four times in the first half, but in that first half, they had like another five or six almost turnovers where they were booting the ball all over the half court and somehow got a shot out of it and sometimes got a bailout bucket. But and those almost turnovers became actual turnovers in the second half, and that just continued to fuel that Houston comeback.
Well, it's like you're saying, you know, it could be a poor entry on a side out or a baseline out of bounds play, and it gets deflected, but then you get to take it out again and you get a good shot, or there's a deflection, but yet the other team doesn't get it. You get it, you launch it, and it goes in, and you're like, holy moly, we got a break there. And that happened a number of times. And when you're playing at the pace that the Warriors are playing at, you really have to talk about good shot, bad shot. And that's big. You know, some guys are going to get kind of ramped up and feeling, well, I'm open. Well, that's not your shot. Put it down and create a better shot for somebody else. So you have to know who you are on the floor and what your role is, because some guys can get in trouble if they get out of that role.
Yeah, they can certainly get into trouble. And, yeah, I mean, the Pajemski dribbling into the corner, the call timeout, not a great play. I mean, I almost don't blame Draymond for that inbounds pass. Like, that is, like, the worst spot to throw an inbounds pass.
There's eight places on the court.
Yep.
Four corners and then either side of midcourt on either side. And you're messing around with trouble if you're inbounding the ball in those areas against a good defensive team, an athletic team. And to Draymond's credit, he in years past, he might have blown up at Podzimski. I think he's setting the tone, Kev. I went to practice a couple weeks ago with my grandson, William. And I was so impressed. First, the way he looked. He looks in great shape. But then his demeanor, his attitude. I even watched him in the other night's game, and somebody was talking on the bench. Boy, he made eye contact with the guy. He's nodding up and down. He's locked in. And then when he started talking about only getting eight technicals, I said, holy moly, now we're really talking. So he gets a lot of credit, because with Steph out, he's the main quarterback out there. And he's doing a beautiful job.
And look, he got a technical in game one at Portland. Hasn't gotten a technical since. So one technical in seven games. If he continues this up, the key number is to keep it under 16 so he doesn't get suspended for a
game.
Heck
yeah.
If he goes one out of every seven, he will finish with 11 to 12 technical fouls, and that's totally fine. That keeps you out of suspension range. We will get into Draymond a little more, but on the bright side, down the stretch against Houston, Some of the young guys, Jonathan Kuminga, Brandon Pajemski, really rescued that game. Kuminga with his buckets in overtime. I mean, how about that? Just full court, the transition deuce to make it 123-119 with the lefty layup. He started underneath the basket and just blew past everyone. Then that turnaround jumper he has, we'll get into pods in a little bit, but his turnaround jumper this year looks so much better. He had one last night on the baseline, shot clock wearing down, defender draped all over him. He's turning basically the opposite way that a righty normally turns and still drilled it.
Yeah, you know, and the thing about those jump shots you're talking about, Kev, he's not in a rush. He's doing it within his rhythm. That's what he's reading defender, taking what's given, and he's knocking them down. Beautiful touch on the ball. And I'll tell you what, when he's going downhill, that's a special element to this team. And they needed that in that overtime. And he was really aggressive. He took what was given. Love the way he's finishing left. And I'm happy for the guy. You know, he could have, a younger guy, a less experienced guy, could have got down on himself, could have got, you know, himself verbalizing to the media about, oh, geez, I should be starting and all that kind of thing. No, he's taking it. After Steve contacted him and told him he wouldn't be starting because they wanted to look at getting some more offense in there, shooting, perimeter shooting, he may have had his three best games. So credit to him. I'm really happy to see it. A couple games ago, we saw Wiggins really playing well. So I've stated all along, I'm going to beat the drum. When those two guys are playing at a high level, this team is very, very hard to beat.
Yeah, I got to get my weekly check-in with you on the Kuminga rebound update. He's at 4.1 rebounds per game. And I know this is something you like to talk about. He had 6 rebounds to go along with those 23 points in the win over Houston, but 4.1 rebounds per game. He started at 3 rebounds per game those first 3 games of the season when he was starting. So he has brought it up a little bit, but I'm sure, knowing you, Saint, you'd like to see that number a little bit higher than 4.1.
You know, he's got shoulders like a guy that I loved coaching, Marcus Johnson. He just, wow, he's just cut. It's a natural body. It's just so strong. And, you know, maybe sometimes you take it for granted. Maybe you got to get in there and get whacked in the head early and wake yourself up and say, I got to go in there and get that thing. And then I can go the full length of the court. You know, the tools are there. And, you know, I love it when he's playing like this. And I got a good feeling. I think he's really starting to grow. I think he's starting to find himself. And he'll get even more minutes, like you said, if he can rebound. And he's trying on defense. That's what we're asking of him. And you talked about Washington with weak side low. This is a young guy who needs to see the defensive end of the floor at a higher level. And when he does those kinds of things, he's very hard to take off the floor.
And you're tuned into Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game, but it's about to turn into Bucks Roundtable for a second since you mentioned Marcus Johnson, who I absolutely love. He was one of my favorite color commentators.
Really?
When I was a manager at Stanford, he was the voice of like the Pac-10 at the time. I'm that old where it's the Pac-10, not the Pac-12. And for Gary, it might have been the Pac-8, but we don't want to date anybody here. but Marcus Johnson... Oh, a great color commentator, and he, every year on his birthday, and I still think it is this year too, he posts a video of
February
himself
8th.
Online dunking, and he's still dunking.
Yes, it's the second week in February. My birthday's in there, and a couple other guys that I know. Great Jim Irwin, who did the Packers and the Bucks games for years. We had like 6 people birthdays that week. And yes, you're right about him dunking. And I'm going to tell you what, you're right. He's funny, and he can imitate guys. I'll tell you what, man, he was gifted. He one day sat a couple of us down, and he gave a lecture on how John Wooden, the first day of practice, taught the guys how to put their socks on. Serious.
I've heard this.
On so you don't get blisters. And he's going on and he's talking about Coach Wooden. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. So the Bucks are blessed to have him doing their games. There's a young lady doing the game there. I'm not sure who it is. And they're doing a great job. Much better than their record or their team.
Yeah, how about them and the Sixers? Whoa. We might get into this later. They are the bottom two teams in the Eastern Conference. Who would have thought that? Lisa Byantine is the play-by-play broadcaster for the Milwaukee Bucks. Does a great job, and their radio guy is really, really good, too. Dave Kane, I believe his name is, a former Virginia men's basketball radio broadcaster. Huh. But back to Warriors basketball here. Brandon Pajemski, we do have to mention his clutch buckets late against the Houston Rockets. And it's just so crafty. We've talked about the footwork before, but it was on display again. And this is a guy, even his rookie year, he'd take a lot of big shots. He'd miss them, but he was taking them, and he was taking them with confidence. This guy is never scared when the moment is brightest.
Well, he hates wearing that mask, Kev. He just hates it. Every time out, he's pulling at it, lifting it up, adjusting the strap. Think about the Detroit Pistons. What was it, Richard Hamilton?
Yep.
He broke his nose, and then he kept wearing it for years because he shot terrific with it. Pajemski is going to be a more consistent three-point shooter. Right now, it's an experience for him. But I'm not worried about that at all, just because of what you said. Paint penetration, good footwork in there. Vision, feeding the open guy, whether it's a short to a big rolling or whether it's a corner pass for a three. He's gritty defensively, takes charges, loves to get in there and rebound. Why are the Warriors such a good rebounding team when they're one of the smaller teams in the whole darn league? It's because all your wings and smalls get in there. Because in today's game, the longer the shot, the longer the rebounds. Well, we got teams shooting 40 and 50 threes a game. So you got to be aware and get in there, and I applaud him for that.
Yeah, no, he's averaging more than 5 rebounds per game.
That's
great. He's shooting 18% from three, but of course, he started like 2 of 20.
You said it, not me.
Yeah, but he was like a 37-ish three-point shooter last year, 37%. That number is going to go up, and especially when he's able to take that mask off. And I mean, you could see it last night when he left the game when he was sick. The very first thing he did before he even left the court to play, he took off that mask. In the words of Kim Mulkey, "Let me take this mask off." As she was doing her LSU introductory press conference, might have been a little more colorful, and it wasn't the same kind of mask that Brandon Pajemski was wearing, if you catch my drift. But let's get into some guys individually, and I want to start with Buddy Hield, because I don't know if he can continue to average 22 points per game, 21, 22 points per game, but what a start. And he moved into 20th all-time in career three-point field goal percentage, career three-point field goals made on Saturday. He just passed J.J. Redick, and now he's chasing Joe Johnson, who's 19th. He has 1,954 career makes.
Kev, Santa Claus came extremely early for Buddy Hield. He is in the perfect system for how he plays. And this is a credit to the veterans on the team, to the coaches, to Steve Kerr. And there's no hesitation. Nobody's looking over at the bench. They know when they've got a good shot and when to take it. His movement without the ball has been as good as I've ever seen it. He shocked me. He went in the other night and went in a very strong dunk. And I'm like, what the heck? Then he made a penetration to the paint and threw a good pass. Now all he's got to do is really play some stellar one-on-one D, and I'm going to have to get up off my couch and start clapping, because this guy, boy, is he playing terrific. He's been the secret sauce and leading the bench. Come on now, what are they getting, 61 points a game or something like that? I don't know.
61 a game off the bench.
Yeah, and I looked at a team the other night. You know how many points they had? 5. So this bench play and the unselfishness, he's one of the key ingredients. And so I hope it can keep going for him. He's looks like a happy, happy guy.
Well, with respect to his defense, he is averaging 1.1 steals per game, and they're averaging, as a team, nearly 10 steals per contest.
That's great.
Quick aside, Jerry Stackhouse, what a hire he has been.
Oh, boy. Kev, I talked a couple weeks, you and I chatted about that, you know, the fans, they're recognizing the players. You know, you've watched so many games, and I was on the bench for, I don't know, a couple thousand games. I know those two guys, and I know who they are as people, and I know who they are as basketball guys. What terrific hires. Terry Stotts is an offensive savant. He's a genius. And you're going to watch some action. They've tightened up. It's not as loose, and they're getting more quality shots. And I told you about Stackhouse. Now, he wasn't a great defender himself, but he's got a respect. You ever see him stare? It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
You know, he looks at you and you go, whoa. You know, it's like a Halloween, you know, going around the corner there, seeing that look in your face. Well, he's got everybody's attention. And I saw him demonstrating to the players. And you know what I loved? He had eye contact. And he had guys nodding their head. When he speaks, he makes basketball sense.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it, Saint. So moving on from Buddy Hield, he got one of his three threes was in the corner, and it was off a great pass from Lindy Waters, a kick ahead. Yes. And you mentioned earlier, Saint, that you show me a player who knows how to pass, and you're showing me a player who knows how to play. Well, I said this before, and maybe it wasn't on Warriors Roundtable, but I would say this at least to myself. In my head or aloud in my apartment, Lindy Waters is a legitimate NBA rotation player, and it's more than the strap on him that he talks about. He said that quote. He said, I have a strap on me, talking about his right arm and how he's able to make threes. He clearly knows how to play basketball, and it's beyond just the shooting. I also feel pretty confident with him bringing the ball up a little bit, too. He's very calm on the rock.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a Stanford grad who knows a heck of a lot about the game, who calls the game for Warriors and the G League, and last week or two gave a dissertation about Lindy Waters. And I listened because I didn't even know the guy. Well, I'm going to give you an A++ because, boy, this Thank guy you. Got my attention. Kev, you were right on about this young guy. He's a nice, nice player. And he's bigger than I thought. He's definitely got a place. There's a lot of people looking around the league and saying, holy mackerels, how'd they get this guy? It was almost trickery. I still don't understand what the heck they gave for the 52nd pick, and then they gave it back. Then they got the guy Post from Boston College. That's a little draft day magic.
Yeah, I mean, they essentially got him for nothing. They traded him for the number 52 pick, which they got back to use on Quentin Post. I mean, it was a really shrewd end-of-bench decision. Look, obviously, this is a Warriors-friendly program. I work for the Warriors. Gary has worked for the Warriors. He's been covering them on TV and radio for years. But Mike Dunleavy has done a really good job building out this roster this year. And you know, whether we are homers or not, I don't think you can dispute that.
Well, when you look at this roster, you have to be impressed. They made, you know, people say, you got to hit a grand slam home run. You got to get Markkanen. You got to get Paul George. You got to get Leonard. Hey, picking up these three guys and then this young guy from the draft day, boy, I'll tell you what. Sometimes, as we said in the past, there's strength in numbers.
Yep, strength in numbers. The early dynasty phrase before they cashed in their chips for Kevin Durant. And of course, that was a great extension of the dynasty. But since we're talking about great three-point shooters and Buddy Hield and Lindy Waters, it's time to bring up Draymond Green, of course. The next dead-eye three-point shooter who is shooting, get this, Gary, 53% from downtown this year. Now, it's 10 of 19, but if you look back to last season when he was 40%, 39.5, I round that up, he is 61 of 48 from three over the last 2 years, which is above 40%. So at what point do defenses start playing him a little differently?
Well, I always thought, you know, the second big is what we call the trailer. And he's normally above the three line, and he's the swing guy when they change the ball in early offense. And he's invariably in that spot. He makes great decisions, passing to the interior, a straight bounce pass, chest pass, or he makes a dribble handoff. Well, now maybe they're denying the wing, so he's stuck up there a little bit. And he loads that thing up, and he looks at the label, which I wish was still Spalding instead of Wilson. And he's looking at that thing, and he's saying, well, maybe I'll take a look. And he looks, and he's knocking him down. Well, then he got me the other night because he made a corner three. And he doesn't shoot from there hardly at all. And I'm sure the guys on the team are giving him the business. They got to be. There's no doubt in my mind. Hey, it's terrific. And if I'm coaching on the other bench, yes, it's time to move up. Not only does it maybe allow you to contest the shot, but it takes away his vision for passing angles. And what is he going to do? Beat you off the bounce? If that's the worst thing that happens, that's okay. But you just can't let him keep shooting up there. It doesn't make sense if he's going to keep making these shots.
Yeah. Well, before we get back to Draymond, I got to ask you a question. Why Spalding over Wilson?
Well, Spalding is made in Chicopee, Massachusetts.
Oh, of course.
It in my hometown. And we used to make Major League Baseballs and all kinds of stuff, Titleist golf balls and all that kind of thing. Kind of got beaten out. I'm kind of sad about it to this day. In my garage here for my grandsons, I have a Spalding basketball rack with 16 Spalding basketballs. That's how loyal I am to my hometown.
Hey, a titan of basketball industry, Chicopee, Massachusetts. Draymond Green, just one more thing about this. His shooting, it could really, if the defense does start to shift more out to him, if they help off him less, you figure that's got to help the spacing for the Warriors' offense.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah, without a doubt. So teams are skeptical of coming out because they're saying, another week of this, he keeps knocking them down, they're all going to change. And then we're going to see more layups. Because then you're going to really get the ball to the cutters. And it's another dilemma for the other bench. And I think it's great when you put him in that situation. So I'm really waiting for him to knock down a couple in Boston Garden tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. The last time the Warriors were in the Boston Garden, it was last March. I was on the call, and it was not much of a call. 140-88. Jerome Robinson in brighter news in that game had 10 points. That was his Golden State season high, but that was about it. The Warriors got blitzed right out of the gates and never really had a chance in that one. Jaylen Brown hitting three after three. So we'll see if they can get a better result this time around. We are going to talk about the Boston Celtics game coming up on the other side of this break. We're also going to talk a little bit about Cleveland and the Thunder. What should be the goal for the Warriors in the final three games of this road trip before they head home to take on Klay Thompson and the Dallas Mavericks in Klay's return to Chase Center next Tuesday? We'll hit up those topics and more on the other side of this break right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound. Look, stop that!
Chicken!
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Hear ye, hear ye. Back here on Warriors Roundtable, Kevin Dana alongside Gary St. Jean. Got another 10 minutes or so before we bid you adieu. If you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570. Tell us how you're feeling about these upcoming three games to round out the road trip against the Boston Celtics, Cleveland Cavaliers, and Oklahoma City Thunder. Let's start with the defending champs. They are on deck, and really, the first thing I'm thinking about this year is really this: the NBA is a narrative-driven league, and one of the big storylines of the offseason was how Jason Tatum didn't get a lot of PT in the Olympics for Steve Kerr and Team USA, and that this was going to be kind of almost like a revenge tour, if you will, to show the world just how good he really is. Now, my take, that could be all fair game, and if I was Jason Tatum, I would use that as motivation too. That's fine. But I feel like too many people like bought into this as like, I mean, who else was Steve Kerr going to put out there? And you might say, oh, you got to put Jason Tatum over this guy or that guy. But I feel like too many fans treated the Olympics like it's an all-star game or an all-star competition. You can't just have five ball-dominant guys on the court. You need connecting pieces. And there's kind of some, there was some talk about, oh, why is Derek White playing more than Jason Tatum? Well, Derek White for this team was a better fit. When you have Stephen Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, there isn't a whole lot of basketball to go around. And look, Jason Tatum's a hell of a player, but Derek White's a better complementary piece to those other guys.
Kev, great breakdown. And at the end of the day, you remember last year in the playoffs, Tatum didn't shoot the ball that well, and it carried over to the games before the Olympics and then when he got in there. And you hit on it. Listen, if I'm sitting there and I've got LeBron and I've got Kevin Durant, that's pretty easy for me. And to his credit, he handled it like a pro. But I'm going to tell you, being from back there, if you're in Philadelphia, New York, or Boston, and that happens to one of your players, there's going to be, and they're not going to sing Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond. They're going to be giving it to Steve Kerr all night long. And knowing him, he'll just shrug it off and laugh a little bit. But you're right on. You're trying to win the games. It's not, well, you play 6 minutes, I'll play six, the next guy. That's not the way it works in the Olympics. And the rest of the world is catching up to us. So they had to do what they had to do to win the game. But Boston's really firing on all cylinders. Brown will not play with a hip issue tomorrow. Porzingis is out. But in the meantime, you mentioned White, Holiday. Those two guys are stone-cold winners. They're getting some good play by some backup centers, whether it's Cornette or whatever. But you know, a guy that comes to that just shines for me with them. We're talking about Buddy Hield. This guy Pritchard, he looks like he can sing in the choir, and then he comes in and starts knocking four or five threes down in about 18, 20 minutes. So he's been a spark plug along with Hauser off their bench, and it's a team that plays basketball the right way. And they're in a great groove, and it's going to be a terrific game. So get on the couch, get the popcorn ready, whatever beverage you like, and it's going to be a good one.
Quick Peyton Pritchard story since you mentioned him. So he was on the famed, and I say famed kind of in jest, the Portland Generals. Now, the Portland Generals are a team of, like, basically Portland area either college players, so you play at Portland State or University of Portland, or high school guys that is brought in to practice against the USA Junior National Team ahead of the Nike Hoop Summit. And so they're kind of seen as like this ragtag group that's just there to get whipped on by the USA Junior National Team. And that was like kind of one of Peyton Pritchard's like first like appearances on the national stage, if you will. I believe he was in high school when that happened. I don't think he was at Oregon yet, but that team got that name by Nate Duncan, a great podcaster in NBA circles, the Portland Generals. I love the name, but he was a Portland General, and he has been awesome this season. He's been on fire. The Celtics, a 121 offensive rating. They're attempting nearly 51 threes per game, and they've only lost one game this year. They're 7-1, and that one loss to Indiana, they nearly came back to win that game. They were down 15-20, vast majority of that game. They were down like 13 with 3 minutes to go and forced overtime in that game. So this is a team that, despite being defending champs, they aren't resting on their laurels at all.
No, these guys are, especially Brown and Tatum, they're in the peak of their career. And as I said, talked about those other guys being winners. You can just feel everything being, everybody on the same page there. So credit to them. It's going to be a great game. And, you know, then we're going to move on to Cleveland on Friday. And Kev, that's a cool story. I'm really impressed with what they've done. First, they've gotten Evan Mobley to be a real focal point. He's gotten stronger and he's more aggressive on the offensive end. And Darius Garland's playing like he played 2 years ago. Last year, he didn't have a good year. I'm always pulling for him because his dad played for us.
Yep.
Winnie Garland, and a terrific, terrific guy. So Cleveland is real. Jared Allen's really playing terrific. And Mitchell isn't a one-man band. So their stats are scary, and they're really, really a good team.
Yeah, they're 8-0. Here are their stats. They're second in the league in scoring. They are first in field goal percentage. Get this. They're shooting 52% as a team.
Whew.
They're second in three-point percentage. They're shooting 41% as a team. And they're top five in offensive rating and defensive rating. Look, Donovan Mitchell, the whole thing with Donovan Mitchell is the thought was, oh, he's just going to try to go to New York. Well, yeah. With the way Jalen Brunson has played there, there really isn't room for him in New York. He signs a three-year extension. I think it was worth around $150 million to stay with Cleveland. So he's got some... He's got roots in Cleveland. They're keeping his minutes down in the regular season. He's still averaging 23 points per game, and this is going to be a tough, tough game for Golden State.
Well, it really is. I mean, great breakdown, and that's going to be tough. And then you go to OKC, and the two guys that they got, Caruso and Hartenstein, they're not even partly playing. One's got a broken hand, and the other one's only playing 10 minutes. The thing that's impressed me, everybody knows now about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But to me, the improvement of Williams from Santa Clara and a couple of their other guys, boy, they're rolling. They're another one. It's just double-figured victories almost every game. So these are going to be really three tough games. Go one at a time and steal a couple. Why not? Be a little greedy.
Yeah, so let's hear from Draymond. So this is what Draymond Green had to say about the Warriors need to do to improve heading into the next three games. And then, Saint, after he talks, I want to hear what you think is a realistic outcome, a goal to set for Golden State in the last three games of this road trip. So without further ado, here's Draymond Green.
I think we just got to continue to get better at our execution. You know, our offensive execution takes some time. We got a fairly new group, a lot of new guys playing together. And so I think, this continue to go, we're doing a great job of playing well and winning games. And on the defensive end, offensive execution, I think we can continue to get better at, and we will. That usually takes the most time. But if I could pinpoint one thing, it'll be that.
Boy, if you didn't know better, you'd think that guy had a podcast, quite the eloquent speaker.
Yeah. So what do you think, like, what should be Golden State's goal, or what do you think is a realistic outcome for the Dubs here in these next three games?
You know what? If you've got Steph Curry and Draymond Green, they're going to look around the locker room, and they're going to say, why not us? We can play with these guys. You know, people probably wouldn't believe it, but we can. And I won't be shocked if they win two out of these three. And even if they win one, that's okay. They're playing some terrific basketball. Draymond's right. It takes a little bit of time. That's why Boston and OKC and Cleveland are in such a groove. Everybody's connected. Everybody's holding on to the rope. Am I a little surprised back there with Cleveland? Yeah. Boston, no. But, Kev, you chatted about we chatted about the Bucks before, and now the Sixers with Embiid getting suspended. Those are the two old geezer teams, and they're going to have a long distance to climb, because don't forget New York. We talked about Cleveland, Indiana, and Bancaro's out for Orlando.
Yeah.
But that's a heck of a team. So the East is much, much, much better, and I'm going to share with you that if anybody's looking for me around Danville, you will not find me late in the afternoon, tomorrow, Friday, and I don't know when the OKC game is. Maybe that's Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
You will find me right here next to the trail in Danville watching the games.
With a glass of red?
Well, that's a possibility.
Well, personally, I'd be over the moon if they win one of these three games.
Okay. Like,
if they go 0-3, it's not the end of the world. They'd be 6-4, and that's a fine start through 10 games. But if they get one, that'd be great. Kind of puts them a little bit ahead of things at 7-3, and anything above that would be fantastic for Golden State. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us here on Warriors Roundtable. We thank you for tuning in, folks. A big thank you to Mark Grandy behind the glass. How about them undefeated Oregon Ducks of his? he was in Ann Arbor last week to watch Ooh. Them take down the Wolverines rather comfortably. Big thank you to R.C. Davis, his Nittany Lions, not having as much success against the Ohio State University. For Gary St. Jean, I'm Kevin Dana saying sayonara. We will talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step left wing three. Cha-ching! 58-41. Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.